Sioux Falls Storm. What a great win for them on Saturday. They brought in, which was the number one ranked team in the indoor football league.
They just have to keep playing the number one team at home. That's all you need to do.
They did it. Storm with the win. Head coach Curtis Riggs on the fan line. Coach, congrats on the win.
Thank you.
Boy, it was one of those nip and tuck games again. I mean, you certainly had the crowd into it, and I tell you what, you get the crowd into it at Storm games. It's an amazing atmosphere.
It is, and you can see why we've been able to win so many games at home. It's a pretty distinct advantage, not only the field setting, but the atmosphere of what we have for a crowd. It's unlike any other team's environment.
You told us last week that Jameel Sewell would be a handful, and he certainly was a handful.
Yeah, he was.
A handful. Not only, I'm not saying he's like Chris Dixon, but he's a quarterback that can run and throw the ball. And you got to watch out for him the very first time he gets the ball.
Yeah, he's a different beast than a player like Chris Dixon. I mean, Chris is probably the best pure passer at throwing receivers open that I've ever seen. And then he brings the element of being able to run on top of that.
Yep.
Jamel brings 6'4", 250 pounds, and can run as fast as anyone on the field. And now he's starting to develop a passing game to go with that, which is pretty scary.
Difference between the first half and the second half for your defense. Did you make any major changes in the second half?
No, we really didn't. We felt like first half we were getting some pretty good pressure, and we did a nice job shutting down the run game. And really, that was, we wanted to make sure we continued to do that, make them one dimensional. Sometimes you just can't account for the quarterback breaking long runs on pass plays. I mean, you can try different ways to spy, but then you leave a lot of areas open. But we felt like we were wearing our offensive line down. I think that was really the difference in the game is we really won the battle in the trenches on both sides of the ball between our offensive line and defensive line. I thought we walked away knowing that we won the battle up front.
Yeah, I think you told us last week defensively you really wanted to stop giving up the big plays, even though there were some big plays against you guys on Saturday night.
Yeah, but the big plays, I mean, the second half, the kid makes they had two very good catches for touchdowns. I mean, one was a one-handed catch with, Roy Ply, one of our corners, is draped all over the kid, and he makes a fantastic catch. And the other one is one of their receivers, reaches way over the wall and brings the ball back in for a touchdown catch. So, I thought we were really making them have to earn everything. They only ran 44 plays compared to Chicago the previous week, who was at 72 plays. I mean, our defense was on the field a lot against Chicago, and this one was reversed. And that's where we're best, is when our guys aren't out there the entire time. We're winning some third down battles, and we're getting some pressure on the quarterback.
I know Corey's been out because of that injury. How's the rest of your defense? How's the rest of the team looking right now, injury-wise, Coach?
We're doing fairly well for this time of the year. I don't think any team's sitting great, but I think as long as we can maintain certain guys and keep them upright, we should be able to go in and battle just about any situation. And eventually we'll get Corey back, and hopefully we can work him into shape as we kind of go down a stretch run there.
Cedar Rapids is 5-4, Chicago 6-4. You lead the United Conference at 6-3, and now we'll go to Cedar Rapids. Tell us a little bit about what you know about the Titans, who they'll face on Saturday.
Well, we know their personnel, but they've got a different coaching staff than years past. But some of their personnel, though, we're very familiar with. They have guys like Carl Sims, who played for us the last couple years, who's probably one of the most explosive receivers to play in the IFL. Carl is a vertical threat at all times, and so you have to be very careful of that. And then they have a nice, accompanying role that plays alongside him. They've got a veteran quarterback that can also run, and then they have, the offensive MVP last year, LaRon Council, the running back, plays tailback for them. But they're in a very aggressive style defense, and they play in a very hostile atmosphere with a very low ceiling, so long field goals are very difficult.
He's Curtis Riggs, head coach of the Sioux Falls Storm here on Sports Talk with Craig and Chris. Craig just mentioned some of the records of some of the teams, you know, and with the win on Saturday, you improved to 6-3. Nebraska fell to 6-3. Because you guys had been dominating the league the past several years, the parity now with everybody just spread out a little bit more, I got to imagine that even though it makes things a little tougher week in and week out, that the parity overall is good for the league and maybe good for the future of the league.
Well, yeah, I'm sure other teams are feeling that way, but I think what it comes down to, though, is it's really not about wins and losses. It's about you getting people in the stands, and so I think our organization still taking the right steps to get people in the stands, because I mean there's teams that are winning in our league that are not getting people in the stands, and then there's teams that you know fight to stay at 500 that get great crowds. So I think a lot of the success of this league is determined by the front office and then the product on the field, and I think that will always be the case with all minor league sports.
I know you were talking about Carl Sims. He only had three catches in their loss. I mean, they got beat by Tri-Cities last week, Cedar Rapids. But you talked about Council and McCollum. Those will be your two threats, as well as Carl Sims, for this weekend.
Well, and then, yeah, you had a guy like Brian Prayin, who had 120 yards receiving this last week. They have a lot of tools. I mean, they have a lot of weapons. I think we can get after them up front. We've definitely got to shut down their run game. And, you know, I'm sure they're licking their chops a little bit because the way they run the ball is very similar to what Chicago does. Mm-hmm. And that gave us a lot of problems at Chicago. So, and this quarterback is more athletic than the kid from Chicago. So we've got to be ready to go. We've got to overcome these road woes that we've had on the season.
Torrey Harrison, 59 yards, a couple of touchdowns. A guy that really, in fact, we had a caller earlier wondering, how can an indoor football league team hold on to the ball for 5 minutes at any time during a ball game? And you were able to do that yesterday to close things out.
Yeah. We had a couple drives like that in the game. And what it came down to was we were able to just work our way down the field, move the chains, get a couple penalties to extend drives, get a couple penalties against us to extend the time of the drive, and then overcome those penalties. And then it came down to the very end. That was just a great play by Torrey. I mean, really the goal for us at that last point was to, they had no timeouts left and it's third down. I mean, we're going to run the ball. We're going to protect, to allow him to get to the second level, hope he can break one. And then we're going to pile on to try to make that clock go as long as it can before the referee can set the ball for play again. Torrey just kind of took matters into his own hands and made sure no one could get to him.
Did you tell him to do that beforehand, or was that all Torrey, or did you guys say, hey, this is what we want to do if we get that opportunity?
You don't ever envision when it's third and 12 that your running back's going to, break off and, hey, when you get to the goal line, turn around and kill some more time. No, that was not the strategy at all. The strategy was to let's use clock when Torrey breaks one, get some yards, and then when they tackle him, let's make this clock go as long as possible before the referee can set it for the next 25 seconds. And that was our strategy. Torrey just took it upon himself to not cross the goal line, run around, extend a little more time. And then not give Nebraska the chance, not have to put it on Parker to make an extra point to seal the game, to just take care of it and run it out.
Yeah, didn't the San Francisco 49ers try to do that in the NFC Championship? They tried, their running back tried to hold off and not go into the end zone, but he tripped and fell into the end zone anyway.
Yeah, Torrey actually, he tiptoes right along the goal line. He gets down there, and then he just runs right vertically or horizontally right along with the goal line. And then he actually loses the first down. And then when Nebraska figures out what he's doing, he makes one guy miss and gains the first down again. It wouldn't have mattered. There was 15 seconds left when the play was over, so the game would have been over. But it was a pretty amazing finish. Our last two home games have been that way.
You'll hear more from the coach, the Curtis Riggs Show, coming up at 5:30 tomorrow as they get ready to head to Cedar Rapids for their game on Saturday night. We'll have it right here on KWSN. But again, Coach Riggs at 5:30 tomorrow on the Curtis Riggs Show. Hey, Coach, thanks for the time. Appreciate it.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thanks, Coach.
Coach Riggs, again, the final, 43-41, sold out home crowd. They've now won 29 in a row at home.